Clerk, if you'd call the roll, please.
Mr. Anderson?
Here.
Ms. Becker?
Here. Present. Here.
Ms. Train?
Here.
Ms. Banner?
Here.
Mr. Dahl?
Here.
Mr. Ditto?
Here.
Mr. Sanford?
Here.
Mr. Stone? Mayor Botello?
Here.
You have a quorum.
We have first before us this evening the minutes of the February 7th, 2011 special meeting 2011-02. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to the minutes of the February 7th, 2011 regular meeting 2011-03. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to the manager's request for agenda changes. Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two changes in your red folder. First change is if you'd please substitute ordinance 2011-7B in your red folder for that in your packet. This is an ordinance that's up for introduction that deals with the issuance of geo bonds for Gatineau Elementary School. Craig's done some recalculating and thinking on that issue and has substituted this for the original ordinance. Secondly, if you would also substitute ordinance 2011-03C for the current ordinance in your packet, this is the ordinance amending the personnel management code that's up for hearing this evening.
Thank you. Ms. McEwen, would you be willing to retrieve the sign-up sheet in the back? We're now at that part of the meeting where we have public participation on non-agenda items. It's an opportunity for citizens to address the assembly on issues that are otherwise not on our schedule. We allot no more than 20 minutes for this. No speaker may speak for more than five. I show that Ms. Nicole Ferraro has asked to address the assembly. I'm going to ask you to come forward here. And Ms. Ferraro, if you could state your name and your address for our record.
Sure. My name is Nicole Ferraro, and I live at 3333 Noel Ave, Juneau.
Please.
And I'm an AmeriCorps member serving with the Association for the Education of Young Children, AEYC. And I'm here representing the Community Health MAP Committee. MAP stands for Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships. And it's made up of many different community organizations. And we're looking to revisit the 2009 Health Summit goals and kind of revamp excitement and action towards those goals for a healthier Juneau. And we're using this MAP tool, which has already been created, but we're looking to implement here in Juneau. And the first step, obviously, would be to find out what a healthy Juneau means to all of us and looks for all of us. So our first step in that is we're having a vision meeting, and that will take place next Wednesday, March 9th from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. at UAS in the Glacier View Room. I'll repeat that. It's Wednesday, March 9th from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. at UAS in the Glacier View Room. And the reason I'm here in front of you all is, first of all, for your general support. That would be wonderful. Your attendance, if possible. And, of course, just to pass this information along to your constituents and just friends and family and people who maybe stakeholders in a healthier Juneau, which hopefully should be everyone. So if any questions, feel free.
Thank you, Ms. Ferraro. Are there any questions? Thank you very much for taking the time to come tonight. That concludes public participation on non-agenda items. We now move to our consent agenda. Any member of the public may ask that a matter on our consent agenda, other than an ordinance for introduction, be withdrawn so that testimony may be taken on that matter. We've had a request already that Resolution 2562 regarding the Alaska Coastal Management Program be withdrawn so that testimony may be taken on that item. Is there any other item in the consent agenda that any member of the public wishes to have withdrawn so that testimony may be taken on that matter? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, I'd like to move the consent agenda with a request for removal of Resolution 2564.
And you asked for unanimous consent?
Asked for unanimous consent, thank you.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us then to Resolution 2562, Madam Clerk.
A resolution expressing assembly support for the extension of and amendments to the Alaska Coastal Management Program.
Mr. Manager.
The Alaska Coastal Management Program is currently under review by the legislature and is scheduled to sunset in July of this year. This resolution would express support for continuation of the program. It's the same resolution submitted by the Alaska Municipal League. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
We have two individuals who have asked to testify tonight, one at our request. That is Ms. Kathy Wasserman, the Alaska Municipal League. Welcome, Ms. Wasserman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your support for the Alaska Municipal League, and it's good to have you attend our meetings and help us make decisions for all of Alaska's municipalities. This resolution that you're considering is one that was first drafted at the Alaska Municipal League Conference in November. I've talked to many people throughout the state, especially here in Juneau, about the Alaska Coastal Zone Management Program. People with differing ideas as to whether these regulations should sunset or should proceed on. And I'm always a little puzzled because many of the people that have talked to me just, I guess, take it for granted that municipalities are going to be against everything. And that's certainly not true. Most municipalities in the state realize that we must partner with industry across the board in many ways in order to make our municipalities better places to live, healthier economically, and just as far as quality of life. So I would certainly hope that you would pass this resolution. Before 2003, the regulations were very much different than they are now, and basically, four things changed after then-Governor Murkowski changed the Coastal Zone Management regulations. And these four things were that communities would know, local district policies must relate to the uses and practices identified in the new ACMP regulations. Municipalities and coastal zone management districts may not address any matters regulated by DEC, to include air, water, or land. That means in a coastal zone management consistency review, even if DEC does not comment on air, land, or water issues within your community, you still cannot comment on those, on air, land, or water issues because they are still under the purview of that specific agency. Also, coastal zone management districts may not adopt, duplicate, repeat, restate, or incorporate by reference a state standard or other state or federal law. And they must be clear and concise as to the activities and persons affected by its requirements and use, and use precise, prescriptive, and enforceable language. None of those regulations sound particularly onerous by themselves, but when put together, they've caused quite a bit of confusion with most municipalities as to what they can comment on and what they can't comment on. A lot of these new rules were brought about by the oil and gas production issues that were going on in the state. It was thought that perhaps the more people that were able to comment on coastal zone use, including oil and gas production, would stop oil and gas production within the state. These regulations have been in effect since 2005, and as you can see, it hasn't been municipalities that have stopped oil and gas production in the state. That's been happening all by itself through other means. Subsistence is a huge issue, and it's in the new regulations that subsistence-designated areas must be identified by maps. The North Slope Borough has a real issue with this particular designation, as they found that their caribou herds are not just sticking to one spot, those darn little caribou. They seem to be moving. So their regulations and their policies have been turned back to them by the state because they have not identified that particular bunch of acres in which those caribou reside. So when the caribou take over and move within the whole designated area, that is not specific enough for DNR. So we have believed that the other main thing is that when the state is allowed to make the controlling decision on to what should happen with coastal zone management, and that now is in the position of one person, the commissioner of DNR is allowed to make that decision, then we have a huge danger of that person not knowing any particular municipality, what the subsistence issues are, what any issues are. And all we're asking is that municipalities be allowed to have a say-so. At our conference, I think we argued this within our own membership for a while, but I remember a gentleman from Cordova stood up and said, we're municipalities. Why would we argue that municipalities not at least have a seat at the table? Should we stop things by ourselves? No, but I don't think any one person should be able to stop anything. It's the ability for all of us to get together and be at the table before the issues become so much larger than we can handle later on. That's all we're asking, is to be at the table. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Wasserman. Are there any questions? Mr. Dole.
Ms. Wasserman, how many municipalities are included in the Alaska Municipal League?
All of them. We have every municipality this year, 164.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Joe Geldhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. Joe Geldhoff, I live in West Juneau. I'm here to urge you to not only consider but to enact this resolution. I think this is a reasonable, in fact, in some ways it's too reasonable, measured response to a situation that was largely cured in the 80s and worked fairly well through the 90s. And the Coastal Management Program has both substantive standards, or historically it had substantive standards. It also was a process, if you will, that allowed people in impacted areas to look at projects in a comprehensive way and put in their 2 cents worth, or even a nickel's worth in. And there were specific timelines in the old program that allowed people reviewing to make their comments in a timely fashion, and then it was all reconciled in the state of Alaska procedures. The minor tragedy that happened in 2003 was that we went way back to the 70s and decided not only to take the habitat division of the state of Alaska and put it outside of fish and game and into DNR, we took the coastal management program, the guts of it, out of the governor's office, where they had to reconcile the competing interests of municipalities, environmental groups, the oil and gas industry, and everybody who had a stake in that, and put it in an agency, the Department of Natural Resource, which is an important agency but has a very narrow role. And the mischief of that has been an ongoing sense of distrust, particularly up north and out west in the rural areas, where they feel like they were just cut out of the process. So the municipalities have taken the lead in this, but they reflect a lot of people's deep felt concerns, and they're legitimate, that they were basically just cut out by a bunch of people from Houston and London and everything that ginned this baby up at the Petroleum Club. And to a certain extent, that's hyperbole. It's also sort of true. And you can do the state of Alaska a great service here to pass this and then work up in the legislature to come up with a reasonable rewrite of the laws. I'll just end by saying, you know, the people who proposed the original coastal management process, where you looked at projects in an area in a comprehensive way, it wasn't the environmental community, it wasn't even the municipalities. It was really the timber industry and the native timber industry, who was just tired of getting piecemealed by one agency and, you know, having to get 6 permits here and 4 permits over there. And they were the ones who came up with the project review, and they used the coastal management program to do the comprehensive review. You know, we can learn from our mistakes. We should adopt this and move forward. And not just the resolution. Tell the folks who work on a daily basis, including the mayor, to get up there and be part of the solution in the legislature. Because the resolution's the start, but getting the bill through through the legislature in a way that works for the municipalities and everybody in our state is the real prize here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Geldhoff. Are there any questions? Again, thank you for your testimony. Members may recall that we had asked that we get a briefing on the status of the legislation. Mr. Greening is here to provide that status. Mr. Greening, if you'd be prepared to come forward.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Clark Greening, and I've been following this legislation from the beginning of this new legislature. As you'll recall, last year, Senate Bill 4 died in the Rules Committee, and that was a bill that was designed to make some changes to the current regime. What I'd like to do briefly here is just give you some of the lay of the land. Now, there is no bill this year that deals with the substantive yet introduced substantive character of this program. It deals simply with extending the date of sunset. The governor has two bills, one of which will be heard, House Bill 106, a week from today in the House Resources Committee. I met with one of the co-chairs today and was informed that he had no interest in actually dealing with the sunset provision. He wanted to get testimony from around the state and from communities, and the committee files are filling up with letters that are asking for changes in the current regime of coastal zone management. So that hearing will be a beginning. You'll recall that no bill was really advanced on the House side at the end of the last session on this. And I think the interest now is to at least get a Senate bill going. On the Senate side, I spoke with the chair of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs, who is going to be chairing whatever hearing they might have on the governor's bill on that side. There's also in that same committee a Senate finance bill, which only does a one-year extension. And as you'll notice, there are no bills now that actually deal with what changes we might have in that program over the current setup. So I think that's a time for communities to weigh in. And on the Senate side, I think there isn't going to be anything moving at all until they see some interest in the House in dealing with the merits of the current program.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Any questions, Ms. Danner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Greening, there was another bill for extension, wasn't there, that was to extend it for 3 years?
There's the two bills. The governor has both the House and Senate bill, which extend for 6 years. And the bill that the Senate Finance Committee has introduced is a one-year extension.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Ms. Becker.
Thank you. Does the Senate Finance Committee think that there's something that they want to have done in that 1 year? Is that why there's just a one-year extension rather than 3 or 6?
I think it's tactical in the sense that they'd like to see some action on the House side. Now, it doesn't mean that the Senate, even the Senate Finance Committee, is totally in line with what changes they'd like to see to the current program. But there certainly is some pressure there in that I think some of the rural senators and maybe some of the urban senators would like to see some changes or just soon have it sunset. And that puts a little pressure on some serious discussion of where to move the bill from here. And
further questions? Thank you for your testimony. That concludes public participation on Resolution 2562. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Assembly approval of Resolution 2562 and ask for unanimous consent.
There's objection.
Thank you.
Debate on the subject. Mr. Sanford.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I agree 100% that we do not need to give up and let this ACFP that we have right now sunset in July. We need to make sure that that doesn't happen, because I'm sure that we don't want the federal government to step in and take over our ANCP program at all. The only trouble I have is going back to the way it was in the past. We had 99 local policies that we were trying to enforce right here within our own city and borough, with our own Alaska Coastal Zone Management program. And the time that it took to get through that information costs developers, whether it be big industry, which we don't have very many big industries down here, one, the mine in the past 20 years, and the other fisheries development and things like that have to go on our coast. All those things, whenever we put a whole bunch more local policies in place, whether they be good or bad, they take time to enforce, they take time to permit, and they take time to go through that process. And time to our developers is dollars, is money. It's as simple as that. And I think that the cost to do that is going to be higher. And I would really like to know exactly what we're getting into here. That's why by us sending this resolution up on the Hill and saying that we're in favor of these steps does not tell me what those steps are. How far are we going to go? If I knew that, then maybe I could vote for this, but I can't. So, again, I would be in favor of extending the current laws that are on the book from 1 to 6 years. I don't know how long it would take us to rewrite the Coastal Zone Management Program, but I think it would take a year or two anyway, and I think that it needs to be done. But just going up there and saying we automatically agree with this, I don't think is right, and I'm going to vote no for it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Further discussion? Mr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Sanford has highlighted probably the largest complaint about the ACMP, and that is its time, the time required to send projects through its process. That, in fact, is a good demonstration of why we need it. If there were no significant issues that those communities developed, then there would be no need to hear them. There would be no need to explore them, to establish evidence in regard to them. They are, in fact, important issues to the communities of Alaska, all of them, at least certainly those that have endorsed the resolution that we are considering tonight. There were other parts to it. There was a coastal policy board, which represented a consideration of all of the issues involved in any one of these projects. I can't imagine that a municipality in Alaska would want to set at naught the requirement in the Alaska Constitution for maximum local self-government. If that has a cost associated with it, then we should be prepared to pay that cost.
Further discussion? Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I will also be supporting this. There is additional review of projects, and particularly allowing for local community input in a much more substantive way than would be possible without it. There is no question that, yes, it will take longer to go through these things, but to say that speed is more important than carefully considering all the issues is not something I can support. I will be supporting this resolution.
Further discussion? Mr. Dibdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Passing this resolution and forwarding it, does it show our support for both? It seems like there's two questions here, the actual extension of the current program an extension with amendments. If it's an extension with the amendments as proposed here, then I will support it. If it can be construed as support, whether or not these amendments are made to just continue the current program, then perhaps not.
Mr. Dibdall, in response to your question, Section 1 makes clear that if adopted, the CBJ would be supporting an extension along with the establishment of a coastal policy board, returning air and water quality issues to the consistency reviews, and eliminating the requirements for designation of subsistence use areas.
Thank you.
Further discussion, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also am a little concerned about extending this for 6 years because we're adding so many things that I don't know for sure what meaningful enforceable policies are and how broad that could be. I would be happier with this if we were able to get it limited to 3 years, let's say, so that there would be time to look at this, time to see how it works, time to see what the Coastal Policy Board does and how many steps that causes people to go through when they're trying to get permits.
Ms. Becker, just to clarify, the resolution does not specify a specific sunset date, only that it be beyond the 2011 date.
Is it impossible for us to specify that?
We can entertain any motion for amendments that the body wishes to have placed before it.
Okay. So I would move that we amend this to put a sunset of 3 years on this Section 1.
So your proposal is that extends the ACMP sunset date beyond July 1st, 2011, but in no case beyond July 1, 2014?
Right.
You've heard the motion. Discussion on the motion. Objection. Objection. Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Ms. Banner?
No.
Mr. Dahl?
No.
Mr. Dibdall?
No.
Mr. Sanford?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
No.
Mayor Botello?
No.
Motion failed.
We have the main motion before us. Further discussion? If not, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. Dibdall?
Yes.
Mr. Sanford?
No.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Ms. Banner?
Yes.
Mayor Botello?
Yes.
Motion passed.
That brings us next on our agenda to ordinances for public hearing. We have before us first.
Mayor?
Yes.
We had 2564 pulled.
I'm sorry. 2564. Madam Clerk.
A resolution authorizing a co-application with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council for a national endowment for the arts grant to fund planned development for a performing arts theater.
Mr. Manager.
The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council recently became aware of a grant funding opportunity from the National Endowment for the Arts. The grant provides for cultural district and cultural arts facility planning beginning at $25,000 and then in $50,000 increments up to a grant available of $250,000. The grant requires a one-to-one match. If successful, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council proposes to partner with the City and Borough of Juneau to pursue a grant, the total amount of $100,000, for concept schematic development of a medium-sized performing art theater sited between the Juneau Arts and Culture Center and Centennial Hall. The grant requires submittal of a resolution of support from local government along with an initial statement of interest from the applicants, all of which is due March 1st. Identifying a funding source for the match is not required at this time, but the Lands Fund and CIP have been offered as potential sources. The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council is reviewing whether in-kind services from local architects and other professional services can be contributed as a match requirement, thus reducing the amount of hard funding required. I recommend this resolution be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on this resolution? Seeing none, public participation is closed. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, I would move serial number 2564 for purposes of discussion.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to, there's a couple things in this which, the Lands Committee moved to support this resolution and passed recommending support, but there are some issues here which I think it's important for the whole Assembly to be aware of, I think, and I would like to ask staff if they could summarize, because some additional information was provided for us at our lands meeting, summarize the major project activities so the Assembly is aware of what this grant is for, and also clarify the last whereas in the resolution, which says the Assembly is fully aware of obligations and responsibilities that will be incurred by the City and Borough of Hartwood and acceptance.
Ms. Harlow.
Thank you. So the staff has been working with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council to come up with a letter of intent for grant submittal on the activities, the outcomes that would be generated by this process. Briefly, we've gone through the budget. We're looking at a $100,000 project with potentially a $35,000 match from CBJ and $15,000 of in-kind services from Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. What we would do as major project activities is convene some public meetings to talk about the needs of a performing arts theater, what types of activities would go on there, what kind of staging and area needs, seating needs they might need, as well as having targeted discussions with different users, including theaters, symphonies, the Theater in the Rough, Sea Alaska, typical users of the theater, so a need statement would be generated. There'd also be activities to look to integrate some of the land use coordination concerns, parking needs, pedestrian circulation, how it would interface with Centennial Hall and the existing Armory building to kind of create some flow and make sure we're getting the best use out of all of those facilities, including the Performing Arts Theater. Come up with some conceptual options, cost estimates for those options, and then sharing those through different committees and processes, including coming back to the Assembly, updating you on the steps and the outcomes of the process, and then eventually coming up with a concept that was agreed upon with the cost estimates that future funding could be considered for. And some of the other activities that would be performed in the grant would be coming up with a schedule of project dates so that we could let people know a little bit more definition of when they can participate and where and how. And then also getting the plans out into the community and adopted by CBJ. So those are some of the activities and the outcomes and the process and the timeline would be all within the calendar year of 2011.
Mr. Anderson, any follow-up with Ms. Marlow?
Just the final question on the again, I just want to make sure my colleagues, when it says we're signing off saying the Assembly is fully aware of the obligations and responsibilities we incurred by the City and Borough, just wanted to make sure that we are.
Oh, correct. And so what we typically do, and this is for most grants, we do a financial report at the end of the grant that shows how the grant monies were spent, how the CBJ match monies were spent, and then we give them copies of the outcomes or the work products from the process to demonstrate that the work was actually accomplished. So there's a financial report, and then there's the deliverables from the process that are shared.
Let me ask if there are other questions, Ms. Danner, followed by Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mayor Battelle. Heather, does this commit us to go forward in any way, or is it simply to look at a plan?
It's simply to develop plans through a public process. And in talking with the JAC folks, I think there's a general understanding, we had a conversation with engineering department, who will be the project manager for this, that there are a number of projects in the community that are kind of on the needs list already or on the wait list. And so this project would be developing a cost estimate and a design that would go into the queue, if you will, or into the list of other projects that have already been developed to this level of detail.
Follow up, if I may. Is it in harmony with your current vision for where we're going with the Willoughby District? And also, is it in competition with private developers for the Century 21 Theater?
I believe that it is in harmony with the Willoughby District. The Willoughby District and the current comprehensive plan identify this site for a future performing arts center without any particular definition on what the size will be or what the user group will be. And certainly the footprint that they're looking to discuss is in harmony with the Willoughby District. And then as far as competition with Century 21 or other theater groups, I think what they're looking to do is they're looking to find a size that is not in competition. So if you have several venues that can seat several hundred people, those are not the venues that they're looking to replicate. They're looking for something larger that maybe we don't have as many venues to work with or choose from, or that they're out in the valley or what have you. So that comes from the targeted user group discussions and the community process of what is our need, what are we missing in the community, what do we need.
Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And so, Ms. Harlow, this project will give us all those facts and figures, will give us a dollar amount of how much this particular project, it was estimated to be about $20, maybe $20 million.
$20.
$20.
Here. Say a dollar here, a dollar there.
$20 million. And what it is getting in the queue for the 1% sales tax and maybe some other way for us to finance it. But no way does this make whoever's going to be sitting at this in these seats up here when we get to that. They're the people who have to make the decision on what's going to go on the ballot or what's going to be put into a CIP project or granted out somehow or whatever. So it doesn't commit us to building this at all. It's just going to give us some good answers of what we need and the costs that we need to come up with it.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And the, you know, the reason I had called attention, I just wanted to come to Lance and everything was because I wanted a fuller fleshing out of what this exactly was, and I very much appreciate that staff and the Arts and Humanities Council have given us that information. This is indeed a planning project that will come up with recommendations that will then come back to the Assembly. It's exactly what I think we need for something like this, and I, the Lands Committee recommended that the Assembly accept the resolution. Thank you.
We have before us Resolution 2564. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That moves us next on our agenda now to ordinances for public hearing. We have first before us Ordinance 2011-3, Version C. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the Personnel Management Code.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend the existing labor management code in three areas. First, it would provide for specific areas of expertise and background for volunteer members of the personnel board. Second, it would make determination of how groups of employees are organized for collective bargaining purposes consistent with the framework of the National Labor Relations Act and the State of Alaska Public Employee Relations Act. And finally, it would provide clarified protocols for management and employee organizations during the collective bargaining process when deadlock or impasse occurs. And I also wanted to point out it was brought to my attention today, the personnel board met at noon today, and they suggested what I think is a fairly minor change to the ordinance. And if you look at the red folded ordinance, that change is on page 2, line 10 and 11. Previously, the ordinance said a member of the personnel board shall not be an employee or spouse of an employee of the city and borough or an employee of any collective bargaining organization which represents any city and borough employees other than those employed by the school district. The change would say a member of the personnel board shall not be an employee of the city and borough or a member of employee's immediate family or household. And I think Personnel Board suggested this, and as I understand this language, it's also fairly consistent with other boards that we have as well. And with that, Mayor, I would recommend that, with those changes, recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2011-03, Version C? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, I would move Serial 2011-03C and ask for unanimous consent.
Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a problem in that I think that this is not grammatically correct. A member of the Personnel Board shall not shall not be a member of an employee's immediate family or household. So I don't think it's properly worded. A member of the Personnel Board shall not be an employee of the city and borough or a member of the employee's immediate family or household.
I believe it properly states the situation, that is, they may not be an employee, they may not be a member of an employee's family or immediate family or household. I believe it's grammatically correct.
Since 8 members of this committee think that's true, I will go with the committee.
Further discussion, Mr. Sanford.
I recommend that we pass this.
Any further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to Ordinance 2011-05. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the Penal Code to prohibit the manufacture, assembly, distribution, marketing, sale, use, or possession of substances containing synthetic cannabinoids and providing for a penalty.
Mr. Manager.
I think the title is pretty self-explanatory. This is also commonly referred to as SPICE, I think, when we've talked about it. Because drug laws are generally a state responsibility in Alaska, this ordinance is temporary, intended to be effect only until the state takes substantially similar action, which I think is expected. There's legislation pending currently that would address the same issue in state statute. The ordinance would make manufacture or sales of the products a misdemeanor and possession an infraction and includes escalating penalties for repeat offenses. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2011-05? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Dibdol.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move Ordinance 2011-05. Ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us Ordinance 2010-11-AG. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance transferring $103,810 to the Open State Waterfront Land Acquisition Capital Improvement Project. The source is unextended FY10 marine passenger fees budgeted to the General Visitor Services and Roaded Service Area Funds.
Mr. Manager.
Transfer of unexpended funds to the Open Space Waterfront Land Acquisition Account is consistent with the Assembly's direction on the disposition of unexpended funds. Therefore, I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2010-11-AH? Seeing none, public participation is closed. I'm sorry, AG. With that, we're ready for Assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we accept Ordinance Serial 2010-11-AG and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Now we have before us Ordinance 2010-11-AH, Madam Clerk.
an appropriation transferring to the manager the sum of $14,090 as funding for the Eagle Crest Fund raising operating account, funding provided by the Challenge Grant Capital Improvement Project.
Mr. Manager.
The Challenge Grant was originally awarded from the Rasmussen Foundation and placed in an Eagle Crest Capital Improvement Project. The Challenge Grant is a dollar-for-dollar match of monies raised by the Eagle Crest Foundation Board of Directors as well as the Eagle Crest Board of Directors. The grant award was not restricted as to its use and is being transferred to an Eagle Crest operating account to fund the fiscal year 11 Books to Boards Use Ski Program. The Public Works and Facilities Committee approved this appropriation at its December 13th meeting and recommended forwarding it tonight for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on Ordinance 2010-11AH? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I recommend approval of serial number 2010-11AH.
Is this actually a motion? Yeah, you're moving to approve, just for the record, rather than recommending.
Right.
We have that before us. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to new business. We have a liquor license renewal with staff protest recommendations. Mr. Manager, if you could summarize the staff recommendation and then defer to the Human Resources Committee.
Let's see. I think we had five or six earlier liquor license ordinances that were approved by consent agenda. The one remaining one before you tonight, the Thane Ore House, does have outstanding sales tax issues. They have not filed in 2009, and therefore our sales tax administrator and the CBJ is recommending that the Assembly protest issuance of the liquor license.
Ms. Danner, committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Due to the delinquent sales tax returns and the associated penalties and fees and interest, the Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly protest the renewal of Restaurant Eating Place License 1915 for Thane Ore House.
You've heard the recommendation. Is there any member of the public, and in particular anyone representing the Thane Ore House, who wishes to speak on the proposed action, which is to protest? Seeing none, we're ready for Assembly action. You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to staff reports, and we, Mr. Manager.
Thank you. I think it was actually Assemblymember Dahl asked for an update on pool issues, and I just want to say I'm going to obviously turn it over to Kim, but when issues rose to the top and we became aware of a lot of the problems that were ongoing, I turned to Kim and asked her to pretty much drop most of what she was doing and sort of get on top of it. And I think not only was she certainly well equipped to do that, given all her years with Parks and Rec Department as director, but I think she's done an outstanding job getting on top of these issues and dealing with them. So I'm going to let her give you an update and answer any questions that you might have, but I just wanted to thank Kim for all the good work that she's been doing.
Thank you. I'll break this into five different categories. I'll first start off with the employee letter. I think all of you saw my turn in last week's paper, and I think we addressed all the issues that were brought before us, the water quality issue, the water testing had been done in February, and the water is safe. We did receive one violation for the day of play from DEC, and the day of play, as you may remember, was an event that took place in Parks and Rec where they invited people to come use Parks and Rec facilities at no cost. And during that time, they had too many people in the pool because it was a very popular event. And so they have come up with systems to make sure they count the number of people that are in the pools, and when I say pools, I am talking about Augustus Brown at this point, and there's two pools, the small pool, which is a little warmer, and then the large lap pool. So staff is working with that, and we have met with the Augustus Brown staff, the head guards and lifeguards, and I think the lines of communication are open again and sharing information back and forth, and we can I expect that that will continue. We do have a new pool manager there that he started 3 weeks ago, I think it's been now. And so that's very good news. We've got a full-time person that's working at Diamond Park as well as the pool manager. The aquatic director is out. That was a position that Karen held, and that position is advertised and will close on March 7th, and we hope to have it filled by the end of March. The aquatic board, we spoke with them last month, and we have a four-hour presentation for them this coming month, so a week from Wednesday, we'll be meeting with them and going through what we should have done with them at the beginning, which was to go through a sort of a ABC of aquatics, go through the budget, go through staffing, go through operational, those things to equip them to make decisions on aquatics. And they didn't have that background, so I apologized to them at the last meeting, and I apologize to you that we didn't train your board correctly to start with. And so we're going to remedy that by meeting with them on the 9th and going through as much as detail as they want, to dig as deep as they want to get the information that will equip them to make decisions as they move forward on aquatics in Juneau. GSC negotiations are ongoing. We have a meeting with a couple of the GSC board members on Thursday. We've got two pieces to wrap up, which, of course, are money pieces, but I hope that we will have that finished in the next 10 days or so. We put out a proposal to them that they're currently reviewing, and it would be a proposal for a per dollar per lane cost for Diamond and a per dollar per lane cost for Augustus Brown. And so they're reviewing that, and as I said, we hope to have that completed in the next 10 days. And the final piece is the Diamond opening. At this point, we're hopeful, if the contractor stays on schedule, to have a punch list by mid-March, be able to get the plasters in and actually finish the plastering work in the pool. And at that point, we need to bring water into the pool, and there's a curing time of 45 days once the water goes in. That curing time, you still can have the public in during that time. But what we're going to need to have time for is to train staff. It's a brand new facility. It has components that we don't currently have at Augustus Brown, and so we need to spend the time with the staff to get them comfortable on how to work with slides, how to work with zero entry, how to work with all those new components, and that will probably take about a month. So at this point, we're hoping to have a very limited schedule the beginning of May. There's a committee that's working on a grand opening, and they're targeting May 21st for that grand opening if things stay on schedule, and that's really dependent on how soon we can get the punch list to the contractor.
Thank you, Ms. Kiefer. Questions? Ms. Danner, followed by Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Kiefer, the new pool manager, is that someone from Juneau, someone who's been associated with our pools in the past, or someone new?
We won't know. The position doesn't close until, the pool manager at Augustus Brown is a new person to the community.
Okay, thank you. I just want to thank you very much for all the time that you've put in. Clearly, this is something that your expertise has helped with, and I appreciate your efforts and the city managers for putting you in charge of it.
Thank you.
Mr. Anderson.
I just wanted to confirm, I think maybe more with Mr. Sanford, is on the COW meeting of the 14th, the Aquatic Advisory Board is to meet with the Assembly on that?
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you.
And hopefully we have all the little things ironed out by then, too. I mean, there's a lot more topics that I know that you're working on, Kim, and we'll be able to discuss all them at the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Mr. Dahl.
I would just like to add my thanks to Ms. Kiefer and the manager for throwing their arms around this and hugging it to death.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Manager, anything, any further staff report?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Madam Attorney?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Then we move to assembly reports. I begin with the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on Monday, February 14th, and we discussed and had an update on Greens Creek Mine and what they do for us. We also had the Sea Alaska Heritage Property Planning Update. A group from Sea Alaska came in and gave us a great update on their proposal and their property planning, which neither one of those we're not supposed to encourage. Rainforest Recovery Center update. Matt Felix came in and gave us an update on that and the change around with that group and what they're doing out there in the past year is very interesting and sounds very positive. Hopefully it keeps going and moves forward. It's a part of our system within Juneau and within Alaska that we need to have a very good facility like that to help those citizens that have problems with alcohol and drugs. And then last but not least, we discussed the Assembly 2010 and 11 goals, and I would move the 2010-2011 Assembly goals to the committee and ask for you to vote them in.
You've heard the committee recommendation. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to Public Works and Facilities Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met today at noontime and spent quite a bit of time going through the staff draft of a CIP list in a fair amount of detail and forwarded that CIP list to the Finance Committee for consideration this coming Wednesday. There are some 13 items on it that are unfunded, worthwhile kinds of things, but for which we don't yet know where we're going to find the money. And the committee also asked for some additional information from Bartlett Regional Hospital about the projects that it has in hand or would like to have in hand. But other than that, we should see it again at the Finance Committee on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mr. Dahl. And again, to reemphasize, the Finance Committee is meeting Wednesday the 2nd, and here in chambers beginning at 5:30. We turn next to Lands and Resources. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We also met just a few hours ago, 5 o'clock, and had a very busy hour. And I'm going to ask for some guidance from you on procedurally on this. First, as easy as is that we, as we, the Assembly previously approved the resolution for the NEA, our town grant, and we had recommended that. The second piece was a related to the CIP. Within the CIP that Public Works forwarded to Finance Committee was a under the temporary 1% sales tax priorities, a line for Peterson Hill access of $1.2 million. And the Assembly, the Lands Committee, wants to forward, and here's where I'm at, either Finance or comes here to Assembly, to break that $1.2 million Peterson Hill access into a $250,000 subdivision feasibility for Mountain Avenue, and leaving $950,000 for the Peterson Hill access.
Again, I'd ask that the matter be taken up at Finance when considering the allocation.
Okay, that's Wednesday. Thank you for that. And we approved a request to fund to support an affordable housing coordinator. Send a modified letter to the AHFC and also this forward the issue to the Finance Committee. So that is will be on their agenda as well. And finally, we took up an issue of the a potential land acquisition, and we had a discussion in executive session on the land acquisition leading to a final recommendation that let's see if I can get the my facts down. The Assembly motion of appropriation of $85,000 for the acquisition of the Becky Bear lot. And Mr. Mayor, and as I said, this was our recommendation. I don't know where and how this should be coming just as a motion here.
It was a recommendation for an appropriation ordinance to be prepared.
So the committee is requesting that an ordinance be prepared for that purpose and introduced. Is that correct?
That would be correct, then. Thank you.
Is there objection to that committee recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered.
And that would be all, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us next to our Human Resources Committee. Turn to Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mayor Botello. The Human Resources Committee met just immediately preceding this assembly meeting, and we had a number of appointments for your consideration. With regard to the Personnel Board, there were two appointments that we recommend: appointment of Max Milkey and Brett Alio for terms expiring January 31, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
With regard to the Jensen Olson Arboretum Board, the school district representative, for that position, we recommend Patricia Newman for a term expiring January 31st, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
An application was received for the Douglas Advisory Board for an opening, and the Human Resources Committee recommends that Linda Snow be appointed to an open seat expiring September 30, 2012.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
I'd like to point out to the community at large that one more opening exists for the Douglas Advisory Board, and you can go to juno.org for more information on how to apply. Wetlands Review Board, there was an appointment, three seats. The Human Resources Committee recommends Mike Massett, Andrew Campbell, and Lisa Hofferkamp for seats expiring December 31st, 2013.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Youth Activities Board, the Human Resources Committee recommends Robert Kahn for the seat designated for the Juno Sports Association, this seat expiring January 21st, 2014.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Two more open seats exist on the Youth Activities Board, and I would recommend the public who is interested to apply. We also had appointments for the Sister City Committee. There were two openings, and the Human Resources Committee forwards the names of Susan Baxter and Liz Brooks with our recommendation for terms expiring. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to do these independently. The Human Resources Committee recommends Susan Baxter for a term expiring January 1st, 2014, and Liz Brooks for a term expiring January 1st, 2012.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
The Sister Cities Committee also gave its annual report, and I found it interesting to note that that President Eisenhower created the Sister City concept after World War II in an attempt to promote peace through people-to-people exchanges. The president believed that the more people learn about each other, the less likely they would allow their governments to go to war, while Sister Cities originally focused on cultural and educational exchanges. Many cities have expanded their relationships to include programs that promote trade, tourism, and economic development. As I'm sure you're all aware, we have currently sister city relationships with Whitehorse, Yukon in Canada, Vladivostok, Russia, Chai Yi, Taiwan, Mishan City in China, and Kamaling, the Philippines. The mission for, or the plan for this sister city committee, now that it is fully peopled, all five positions are now filled, and they are fully reconstituted. They are anxious to work with other organizations within our community that share their mission in an effort to leverage their individual efforts. And they, to this end, they will be sending out a survey for interest to different groups. So please, if you receive that survey, please respond timely so that we can make progress.
Thank you.
And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us to liaison reports, to begin first with Ms. Crane.
Nothing this evening, thank you.
Ms. Danner.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The school board, at the last school board meeting, they gave a favorable evaluation for the superintendent, and he will continue being employed, I'm glad to say. They, of course, took much testimony on the budget, which will be discussed tomorrow night at the school board meeting, and that will be, I'm sure, a lengthy discussion. They chose the number of 4,944, as far as I know, at this time, for their student population next year for enrollment. And the music man was put on. It was fantastic. It was absolutely wonderful. And the meeting tomorrow night will be mainly the budget, and the calendar should be adopted. The Alaska Committee elected officers, Wayne Jensen's president, Rosemary Hagevik, vice president, Joe Nelson, the secretary, Max Mertz, the treasurer, and they will do the reception for the Alaska conference next week.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Chamber of Commerce board met a few weeks back, and they had asked the city manager to come and talk with them about pool issues, which he did, and I think they were very satisfied with the discussion that came, that resulted from that. And also in the CIP, we have $50,000 for Eagle Crest strategic planning, long-range planning. Again, this is something we have wanted the Eagle Crest to do, to map out the future, and they're moving forward on this. Thank you.
Mr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Planning Commission met on the 22nd and dealt mostly with local issues. It will get back into the subject of the noise ordinance at its next meeting, whose date I don't have in front of me, but I'm sure that'll be its biggest task.
Thank you. Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Airport Board met a couple times here in the last month, and I want to make sure all of you know what's going on in the aviation industry, not only in Alaska, but throughout the United States. We started about 15 years ago, longer ago than that, in the military with the GPS satellites, and they could just about land on a dime or get you to within a dime slot of landing. Some of us wouldn't want to land at our airport on the dime on some of the weather that we have, but they can do it, and they've been doing it for 10 to 15 years. About 8 years ago, they moved on to what we call the Capstone Project, and to try to help alleviate some of the accidents and the high mortality rate that we've had with our aircraft in Alaska, not only in southeast but up north too. They put the Capstone Project into effect, which were receivers on the ground and then little computer boxes. Some of you who ride the airplanes see them all the time, and like Wings and LAB. LAB was one of the first ones to get the Capstone little boxes to read. They could see the valleys that they're flying into, and if they get into trouble, they can go off of visual and go onto that little picture box and fly out of it and be a lot safer. That got us down to, throughout the United States, down to about 5 or 6 miles of separation for the big jets at airports. Back east in all the air lanes, they are swamped. They are, the only reason why they've been able to keep going is because of the recession and because the airline industry has tried to fill up all their airplanes. So they've had less flights going out. So that's helped keep a little bit of airspace open back east. Right now, the airport is in the process of a new project, and that's called the ADS&B project, which has set up a bunch of instruments around the Juneau Airport for about a 25-mile radius. And as the jet flies in on the approaches, he gets in with that box, and it begins sending the GPS signal back to the air traffic controller's house or tower, and the tower immediately knows on his screen what that blip is and what that transponder is saying to him, which aircraft it is. So now we've got 5 mile separations here in Juneau. That will free up a lot of airspace back east where they can cram them in closer, however you want to say it, get them in closer to be able to get landed safely and everything. Here in Alaska, it will help us to show us where they are as far as the approaches coming into Juneau. So you've all made the approaches both ends. You know you go over the top of some big mountains, sometimes not making it and sometimes making it. And this new technology is going to be just fantastic. We thought GPS was great. This new adaptation, and we in Juneau and the Gulf of Mexico are the first two regions to have this. The Gulf of Mexico, because of what happened last year with the oil spill, they put that all in effect, and it was real easy because there was no big mountains to worry about or anything. Here in Juneau, they put it into effect because of our big mountains and how hard it is to get here into Juneau and out of Juneau. So, you hear about all the things that's happening on the ground at the airport. There's other advances that are happening in aviation with our airplanes and making it safer for different aircraft to get in and out of Juneau and making it, for the public, a safer place to fly, which is good for all of us. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Sanford. Mr. Dahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Anderson.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Are we on comment?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to say how grateful I am to the staff of our CBJ staff who courteously meets with me and answers my questions. And so I want to thank Rory Watt and Craig Duncan, who have met with me recently, and especially Jeannie Johnson and Catherine Fritz, who, although they did not give me the technical information, and I shall be calling them about that, they did give me a wonderful 2.5-hour tour of the airport, and I found it's really lovely what's been done, and there's still some wonderful plans ahead of us, and the community room is beautiful when it gets finished, and so I hope that we will be able to finish the old part of the airport that hasn't been touched yet and get that up to the same standards, because it really is looking great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually have three things. And so I'll start with a request for immediate reconsideration. I'm sorry, I can't leave some things alone. It's the ordinance that we passed today, serial number 211-03C.
So there's a motion to reconsider. Is there objection?
Can you clarify?
What one is it?
Objection, yeah.
The grounds for the objection?
No,
wanting clarification on your motion, and I take it your motion is with respect to Ordinance 2011-03, Version C, page 2, lines 10 and 11.
Lines 9 through 12, actually, yes.
So, again, a member may move for reconsideration at the same meeting. It requires affirmative vote by 5 members, as I recall, at the same meeting. Well, I know it's 6 at the following subsequent meeting. Mr. Anderson.
Just a clarification. Sure, if we have an ordinance passed, we can always amend a line or two if we find it's necessary, can't we?
The answer is yes. But again, the motion is an order. It can be brought at any point during the course of this meeting.
Yes.
But before consideration is given, the motion for reconsideration must be adopted, for which I ask if there is objection.
Objection.
There is objection. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Danner?
Yes.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. Dibdahl?
No.
Mr. Sanford?
No.
Mr. Anderson?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mayor Patillo?
No. Motion fails. Second item.
Second item. Because of my preoccupation with sentence structure, I failed to make a comment on when we were considering ordinance 2010-11-AG, and I'd like to make that comment now. This was the ordinance with regard to transferring $103,810 to the Open Spaces Waterfront Land Acquisition Capital Improvement Project for funds not spent in FY 2010. There were five different budget items that we had allocated funds for: downtown sidewalk maintenance, downtown foot and bike patrols, downtown ambassador program, downtown historical district development. Well, I'll leave that one out of my list, actually. And then the crossing guards. They're small amounts. And it seems to me that with 9% unemployment in Juneau last summer, this would have been an excellent opportunity, since the funds were available, to provide summer jobs and also a legitimate use for our passenger fees. So I would just like to encourage us to find opportunities to spend wisely as opposed to putting it in the bank in the future.
And, Ms. Danner, in the future, in the normal course, this would be out of order, since it's, in essence, debate on an issue already decided by the body tonight, absent a reconsideration. But, again, for this purpose.
Okay. Point okay.
It's simply a note of instruction for all members here in the future.
All right, and the third item on my list is I've been approached by several members of our community who are concerned about strong odors emanating from different locations in the valley. In particular, I've been made aware of the ones near Skater's Cabin. Staff has been very helpful in their efforts to examine whether or not the odors come from a problem with our sewage treatment facilities, our lift stations, and they do not. There is speculation, but I can't see evidence, speculation that the reason for the odors is a recent freeze-thaw situation. I've lived in this particular neighborhood for 22 years. We've had a number of freeze-thaw cycles that are very similar to what we're experiencing now, and I just don't see how that can be the case, since this is an odor that is has been ongoing. It's consistent. It's always there. It's in the water that's flowing from the gravel pit into a salmon rearing area. And I don't know if there are permits for the gravel pit to be able to release water into a salmon rearing pond, a stream, an agrimis area. And I don't know where to go from here. So I just wanted to call it to your attention and see if there is anything at all that needs to be done.
Mr. Manager, I know that you have intervened on this matter. Is there anything you wish to add to Ms. Danner's comment?
No, just the only thing I would add is, I mean, in terms of consistent odor, I mean, I went out and walked the area originally when you brought it to my attention, and I swear there, I didn't smell anything. And as a matter of fact, I was out there again today driving around looking at snow conditions, checking, and I did stop because you talked about the stream that was flowing. And again, I got out and smelled. There was absolutely no odor there. Now, working with DEC, I mean, I feel very confident it's not raw sewage. Nothing to deal with our lift station or us. DEC did take water samples, checking for coliform and those E. coli and those sorts of things. So I don't know what else to suggest. I guess maybe as it warms, it seems to be a temperature thing, too. I think as it warms up, it gets worse. I mean, it certainly wasn't there today. I can assure you that. So I'm at a bit of a loss. I don't know at this point if DEC wants to keep chasing it down. I'm not sure what we could do other than help.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Stanford.
Is that a permitted site from us, from our community development?
You know, I don't know.
Is that Bicknell's gravel pit?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's it Bicknell's or is it... No.
Jeremy.
Yeah, Sydney's. Mm-hmm. Sydney's Pond. Jeremy and...
the active one.
Right.
Up the roof.
I think that's the one. Oh. The one that's currently... Potentially could be used for stump dump and those sorts of things. Yeah.
Well, it's permitted through CDD, excuse me, Mr. Mayor. It's through our department. I don't know if there's any restrictions on what they can do or can't do. You might check with Dale Bernua. Mr. Anderson.
Just to note, Ruth has shared some of that information with me, and part of the reports were saying also that odors were not just noticed in that, around that area, but a number of other areas, even as far across as Bayview. So that sort of opened the... Bayview was one of the reports in that, one of the locations, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think King said.
That's what Ron said. So, I mean, it didn't seem to me like it was just a one location thing.
Ms. Tanner?
Mr. Mayor, Heather's been raising her hand. Maybe she has better information in terms of the pit and permitting and stuff.
Yes, so I was speaking with Mr. Sidney about another topic and asked him if he had heard any reports of odors coming from his property, and he indicated that he had been contacted in the past about odors from his property. He is providing a stump dump service there for stumps and logs and woody debris and such, and I believe that he also has some mud and some peat on the property. So what he's saying is that it's a decomposition odor of natural organics that's occurring there. That was his conversation with me, and he feels that he's performing a community service by providing a stump dump rather than doing the open burns, which can contribute to air quality problems. So from his perspective, he's trying to provide a service in the community that's needed with a stump dump and a place for peat and mud and such. Those were his comments to me last week. I asked him about a discharge point, because that's, I think, what you're talking about is a point source discharge. And I asked him about where it's located, you know, and how that's working. And he indicates that he brings fresh water into the site to help flush out the organics as decomposition is happening, but he doesn't bring that fresh water in on a consistent basis. So that may be correlated from when the odors come and go, is when he's actually kind of flushing or, you know, moving water through his site. And I asked about his discharge point, and he knew exactly where it was. It's right by Skater's Cabin. You've probably seen it before. But those are his comments from a landowner's perspective of what he's doing and why he's doing it.
Ms. Tanner?
Through the chair, Ms. Marlowe, does it make sense that he would be able to do stump dumping someplace else where the water is not being discharged into that salmon stream?
Well, I think... You know, from this is a community issue that's been going on for quite some time, and there are not a lot of locations for stump dumps. You know, there's one that's visible from Egan Drive in the Lemon Creek area, and they use that. You can see the different piles of debris and rock, and they move it around and such. That's under a different ownership. But without the Sydney property, there's basically, if you could consider it, a monopoly on stump dumps and rates that can be charged and such, yes. And so I think that, you know, from his perspective, and once again, I don't want to speak for him, but just relating what I heard from him, is that he's providing a secondary site to do this work.
Further questions?
Yes. Do you know, Ms. Marlowe, if there is a permit for the discharging or a mechanism or an agency where that should be permitted?
The point source discharge should be handled both from DEC and potentially even from EPA, especially if there's a clean water violation that's going on. But DEC would be the local contact for the clean water violation. And, you know, I'm not quite sure. I haven't followed the issue down. It's not my assignment. But I think eventually what you're going to see is not only is it going into an anadromous fish stream, but it's probably going into federal land. And they take that quite seriously. So I just spoke with him last week, and he didn't make any indication that he was going to change his arrangements or his operations there. But as I mentioned, he feels like he's providing a service, a needed service.
Anything further, Ms. Danner?
Yes, just for the assembly's information, the DEC did do chemical testing of the water, but they only tested for E. coli and fecal coliform. So they were only checking the sewage angle and not whether or not there were other problems for human health or for the fish in the stream. And that's all.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing,
thanks. Mr. Manager, at the risk of prolonging the meeting slightly, an issue that Ms. Kiefer and I have spoken about is the wisdom of removing the library services from the manager's office and setting it up as a department. If it were to do so, that would require assembly action. Is this a matter that you would support?
I would.
What I'd like to ask the assembly for would be permission or instruction basically to the city attorney to draft an ordinance that would break out libraries from the manager's office. My reasoning is pretty straightforward. It is a line function to the public, different in kind than other functions within the manager's office. It has a significant staff. It services three different facilities in Juneau, and really is different in kind than the normal functions of the manager's office. Truly functions in many respects as a department. It's just not treated that way. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. I'm trying to think about how what difference this would make. The directors report to the city manager, and so how would this change that?
The director would have director status along with as a department head, which the current librarian is not in that same constellation.
Okay, thank you,
Mr. Dole.
I'm just curious as to why it's in the manager's office to begin with. Is it beyond the memory of anybody here?
Please, Ms.
Keith. May I add that it's in the, I think it's 3 point something in the code, and what I'd recommend as we go through the library piece, look if there's any other cleanup we need to do in the department section as we move this, so we're doing it, that whole look at the whole department piece.
Again, I simply ask if there would there be any objection to such an instruction to the city attorney. Hearing none. Mr. Manager, do you have anything further for us tonight?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Madam Attorney.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, could I do a comment?
Yes.
You missed me on comments.
I caught that. I'm sorry. I took your airport report to be yours.
I know. So. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I had a comment tonight. Mid-session summit for Southeast Conference is going to be next week, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. There's four or so of you signed up, of us signed up. If you're interested, please get signed up. And I don't know how we've done this in the past, but I was looking for a sponsorship for them, Southeast Conference, and they're, you know, like we do with AML. And do we just put in a request for some dollars, or we do it right here?
I think this is an appropriate place. Yes.
It was a budgeted item, and it was requested, and we did it.
Oh, really?
For a $500.
There you go. I'll go to the next.
Similar to last.
Thank you very much.
Anything further?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Any other member? We are adjourned.